Blog Talk Radio.
Finale edition of the NFL show on this 4th of February 2013 as we look back at Super Bowl 47, the Baltimore Ravens world champions for the second time, Ravens 34, San Francisco 31. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can hit me up at Facebook. That's Cyril Quinn. Follow me on Twitter at William Juro, or find me at CyrilJuroQuinn.com as well. Crazy night for the city of New Orleans. Certainly, the NFL is kind of bittersweet. You saw an exciting game towards the end, but you had the whole power outage, which was certainly an embarrassment for the league, for the 34-minute power outage that happened in the third quarter, which we're still trying to find the answers to. Certainly that will probably come out in the next couple of days. But regardless of that, it was a Baltimore night. The Ravens proving on this night that they were just a little bit better than the San Francisco 49ers. Ravens jumping out 28-6. I thought that San Francisco would have trouble covering the Ravens wide receivers. They could not handle. Anquan Boldin. Toy Smith made a couple of plays, but it's Anquan Boldin who really hurt San Francisco, making some big catches. Joe Flacco played extremely well. Was great in the first half, and also before the power outage. And didn't make any big mistakes. I mean, 3 touchdowns, no picks. You know, you look at his numbers, 22-33, 287, 3 touchdowns, no turnovers. The big throws that you had to make, including a couple of big third downs. San Francisco, Baltimore on the night was 9 of 16 on third downs and had some key third downs. And the bottom line is, listen, you spot a team 28-6. You know, you're going to be hard-pressed to come back against that team. I know San Francisco had some great comebacks, or had a great comeback against Atlanta. This was not the Atlanta Falcons. Baltimore's defense, the reason why San Francisco got back into this game, other than putting the power outage aside. And listen, both teams had to deal with it, but it was clear to me that the energy was sapped out of the Baltimore Ravens during that power outage. That game, if that power outage doesn't happen, that game would not have been close in the fourth quarter. It felt like San Francisco was you know, at 28-6, 3rd and 13 when they came back. It just felt like they were there as a doorknob, and it just wasn't going to happen. So that power outage definitely sparked the San Francisco comeback. There's no two ways about it. Now, give San Francisco credit for taking advantage of that. But I was watching that game, that if not for that power outage, then this game might not have been close. But, you know, luckily for the fans, it was. I thought San Francisco's offense started to wear down Baltimore's defense. You had an injury to Holoi Nata, which certainly didn't help. San Francisco ended up rushing close to 200 yards as a team, and I thought that Baltimore was sucking wind. Their defense was sucking wind, in particular in that fourth quarter. You know, you're playing indoors, hot building, it's hot, certainly on that field, on that field turf. So, again, San Francisco's offense kicked into another gear in that third quarter. Kaepernick, he showed you something despite the loss. You know, he came out shaky. I thought Baltimore's defense did an excellent job in the first half of keeping him inside the pocket, didn't give up too many big runs in the first half, and making him a pocket passer. Now, he made some good throws, but he also made a big mistake on the interception to Ed Reed, which led to another, which ended up leading to Baltimore being up 14-3. That was a key play. I thought that was a key turnover at that point. At that point, following a that was a key turnover at that point that made it 21-3, I should say, because they were up 14-3 at the point of the interception. So they had back to back turnovers. You know, you had the Michael James fumble, and then you had the Colin Kaepernick interception that was caught by Ed Reed. So, you know, just too many. When you look at this game overall, it was just too many mistakes by the 49ers. You know, too many mistakes. You had, you know, a couple of turnovers that ended up leading to Baltimore touchdowns. You had a couple of penalties on Baltimore, on San Francisco, that extended drives, pass interference. You had they wasted a couple of timeouts in the fourth quarter, in the second half. One was called by Kaepernick because he was about to, I don't know if it was a confusion on a play or he was about to have a delay of game. But, I mean, I think it was confusion on a play. The second one was in the fourth quarter where they were about to have a delay of game. Now, you understood that one timeout for that because, listen, at that point you cannot sacrifice 5 yards at that point in the game. But the problem is, had you not called the earlier timeout, you would have had a extra timeout left, and maybe you have a minute left. Maybe you get the ball left with a minute or say 40 seconds left instead of getting the ball left with 4 seconds left with that extra timeout. And also with the punt, and I didn't think that Baltimore would take a safety because I was like, there's no way that you give away points. But it turned out to be the right move. I mean, 12 seconds left, Sam Cook was able to run off 8 seconds. San Francisco was just not ready for it, or either that, or they just were not expecting Baltimore to possibly take a safety. I don't know why they wouldn't be. But again, you know, listen, would it have made a difference? Possibly, because, you know, you get the ball back with 8 or 9 seconds. Maybe you can throw a Hail Mary. Maybe you could throw at least one Hail Mary down the field. Who knows? They probably would have won anyway at that point. You look at the sequence that San Francisco had in their last drive, and when they got down to deep into Baltimore territory, their last three plays were on the Baltimore 5-yard line. On the second, third, and fourth down, they all go pass plays to Michael Crabtree. Now, Michael Crabtree had an excellent day, 100 yards receiving. But again, you know, you have Vernon Davis. You have a guy like Delanie Walker who's dangerous out the backfield. I mean, you could have had a little bit more variety in the play calling, as far as I'm concerned, on that last set of plays. I mean, basically, you went Michael Crabtree, Michael Crabtree, Michael Crabtree. So, and again, I don't want to hear anything about the non-pass interference holding call. There's no way in the world, with the Super Bowl championship on the line, that an official is going to make that call. This is not going to happen. They're not going to call that. It was a questionable call at best. I mean, yes, we see how many times over the course of an NFL season you see a guy pass interference not get called. It happens all the time. It's a judgmental call. Sometimes they call it, sometimes they don't. And in this case, I cannot blame the official for not calling it. It wasn't that blatant for it to be called, to be honest with you. It wasn't that blatant. Like, I didn't think when I first saw the play, like, I had to see at least 2 or 3 replays to say, oh, you know, he might have held them. But I didn't think, when the play happened at the point of attack, that it was a pass interference or a hold. And trust me, I had no rooting interest in the game. The only thing I was rooting for was a quality game. So, good no call by the official. You're not going to call that with a Super Bowl championship on the line. I thought Jacoby Jones, a couple of, you know, performances that stand out. Jacoby Jones, we all know how well Flacco played. So he was, of course, Super Bowl MVP. Jacoby Jones was tremendous in this game. And I mentioned Anquan Boldin, who's been big time throughout the course of this postseason. But Jacoby Jones, how about this? He catches the 70-yard touchdown to tie the game in Denver, to force overtime. Then he goes out there in the Super Bowl and has a 108-yard kickoff return. When the announcers, Nance and Sills, were shocked that he came out, and I was too, has a 108-yard touchdown that seemingly put the game away. And then goes and before that had a 56-yard touchdown catch, got up, was able to get into the end zone to put Baltimore up 21-3. So a big night for Jacoby Jones with the kickoff return for a touchdown and also with the long 56-yard touchdown reception. Again, you can make a case that top to bottom that San Francisco is a better team than Baltimore in terms of talent. But, again, I thought the experience of Baltimore, I thought they handled the big stage better. They were calmer. Even when San Francisco came back with the furious rally, Baltimore did not panic. They had a couple of drives that they were able to get field goals out of that kind of stabilized, stemmed the tides a bit, and kept them. And they never allowed San Francisco to get ahead. Which, hey, that is a big psychological hurdle when a team never gets ahead. That game, you know, the 2-point conversion was big. I mean, the 2-point non-conversion was big to keep for San Francisco not to tie that game at 31-29. I had no problem with San Francisco going for it at that point in the game. I think any time inside the fourth quarter, you are allowed to go for it, and it makes making sense. So 34-31, Baltimore gets their second Super Bowl championship. San Francisco loses their first Super Bowl as a franchise. They came in 5-0. Also, the first time as a San Francisco quarterback has thrown an interception in the Super Bowl. Young in Montana came in with 17 touchdowns and no picks in 5 Super Bowl appearances. So that streak goes out the window as well. When we return, we will have the turning point of the game. That's coming up on this latest edition of the NFL Show. We'll be right back. After the 12 o'clock hour on this latest edition, this season finale edition of the NFL Show. It's been a wonderful season. Happy to end it with following this Super Bowl 47 in New Orleans, 34-31. A couple of things about the power outage. The company that supplies the power, called Entergy, says that the power outage, you know, came from within in terms of the Mercedes Superdome. Of course, the Superdome says it came from outside. So, an outside power feed. So, you know, obviously a difference in opinion from that standpoint. Certainly they'll have an investigation on that. It was embarrassing for the league. I mean, listen, if this game, I mean, it turned out to be a close game, but let's say Baltimore was up, say, 14-13 and lost this game, or San Francisco was up and then lost the game, it would have been an embarrassment. He was already a big enough embarrassment for the league. It really would have been a terrible black eye for the league for that to have a part in deciding the game. And it almost did. I'm telling you, if Baltimore would have lost this game, there would have been New Orleans might not have ever gotten another Super Bowl again had Baltimore lost this game, to be honest with you. You just can't have that happen in a Super Bowl. I mean, you can't. It just can't happen. Now, if it's a natural disaster, a lightning storm, something like that, if the weather's bad, but for that to happen and it be non-weather related, that is an embarrassment to the NFL. Something that I'm sure the NFL will be looking heavy into in the next couple of days. There were three turning points in this game. The first one came, I thought, and that really was the biggest, was the most important one, because it really, like, put Baltimore at the time when I thought in the catbird seat. The Michael James fumble. San Francisco was down 7-3, but they're driving. They had all the momentum. They were able to get a field goal, then stop Baltimore and get the ball back, and were driving. And like the Michael James fumbles, gets hit by Courtney Arbshaw, forcing the fumble. And Arthur Jones recovers at the Baltimore 24. Baltimore then goes down the field to go up 14-3. Then you have the Ed Reed interception. Baltimore scores again with the Jacoby Jones touchdown catch to go 21-3. And, of course, I mean, so at that point, you know, you really thought, kind of at 21-6, 28-6, thought the game was over. But I thought the game was over in Baltimore's favor. Of course, the second turning point came in San Francisco's favor with the power outage. 21-28-6, Jacoby Jones has just returned a 108-yard touchdown, kickoff, a touchdown. It's 3rd and 13. San Francisco's 3rd and 13 at the time. They look like they look dead as a doorknob. You had a power outage. They come out after the power outage. They outscore San Francisco, outscore Baltimore 25-6. It looked like Baltimore had no energy, and it looked like that, you know, the San Francisco came out galvanized after that 34-minute delay. Third turning point to me was the Anquan Boldin 30-yard catch on 3rd and 3. It was in the fourth quarter. It looked like obviously the momentum was on San Francisco's side at that point, and it's 3rd and 3. 3rd and 3, 28-23, in the third quarter, San Francisco had the momentum at that point. 3rd and and Boldin gets a 30-yard reception. Now, they only went and got a field goal, but to me that was a big field goal. Coming off a point where San Francisco has just come within 5 points, so that was I thought that kind of put San Francisco back on the heels a little bit, gave Baltimore some confidence. They end up getting another field goal following another San Francisco touchdown to go 34-29. Baltimore had no answer for San Francisco's offense in that fourth quarter. In that midway to the fourth quarter, they had no answer. San Francisco scored touchdown. San Francisco went, you know, basically touchdown, 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 and then had a turnover on downs where they drove down to the Baltimore 5-yard line. Baltimore couldn't stop San Francisco in the fourth quarter. Defensively, defense was tired. They were gasping for air. They lose Nata for the game. They were, Gore was starting to gouge him. Kaepernick was starting to get some running lanes. So they really, Baltimore really had to hang on for dear life. They had to get, had a couple drives by the offense that were, again, that were able to somewhat keep San Francisco at bay and from taking, keep them from taking the lead. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we come back, we'll have the stat leaders of the game. That's coming up on this latest edition of the NFL Show. We'll be right back.
Second half, they outgained Baltimore
286 to 126. So the San Francisco offense really picked up in that second half. I thought Baltimore defense did confuse Kaepernick in the first half. I really did. But as the game wore on, especially after the outage, it seemed like San Francisco's offensive line started pounding on Baltimore's defensive front. They weren't getting any pressure on Kaepernick. Our receivers started getting open. They started getting running lanes, and the floodgates opened. The floodgates opened up for San Francisco, but they could not. San Francisco, the thing that, you know, killed San Francisco is red zone, you know, in the red zone. I mean, they were forced to kick a couple field goals in the first half. And then, of course, the last drive, they were not able to punch the ball in down at the 5-yard line. Again, I questioned those last three play calls. I know the first call was a, you know, 2-yard run on first and goal at the 7. Second play call, though, I mean, you know, the last two play calls, though, were all passes to Michael Crabtree. And I just don't know if those were, you know, if you could have went into another direction if you are Jim Harbaugh. But, you know, it is second guessing. I got sick. And, you know, I had no rooting interest, but I can understand why anybody here is sick could have got sick of Ray Lewis. Ray Lewis is a Hall of Famer, all-time great. Now, 2-time Super Bowl champion, but it was just enough already with Ray Lewis. To be honest with you, enough talking. I'm not even talking about what he's saying about, you know, about his religion and things of that nature. I'll never criticize anybody who openly worships God. I'm not going to do that, but it seemed like, you know, yeah, it's about me. It seemed like he was trying to just do things to draw attention to himself when he didn't have to. I mean, the attention was going to be on him throughout the course of the game, throughout the course. By the way, Ray Lewis was not good in this game whatsoever. I mean, wide receiver tight ends were running right past him. They ran right at him. I mean, he was a non-factor. He was a, you know, he was a figurehead. I mean, defensively, he's an absolute non-factor in this game. So there's a reason why he's retiring. Clearly not the player he once was. But again, 17 years, I'm not going to criticize him for not being that after 17 years and what, you know, made, you know, 12 or 13 Pro Bowls, was all pro 2-time. I mean, we know what kind of career he's at. But you understand why he's retiring, and he's not coming back. I mean, this is it. Perfect way to go out, similar to John Elway. He goes out a Super Bowl champion. You can't go out any better than this. If you're Ray Lewis, you can't go out any better than this than to be go out on top, leading the team to help lead the team to another Super Bowl. And listen, 12 years between Super Bowls, that is the longest gap a player in NFL history has had between Super Bowls. First, you remember his first Super Bowl championship that he won was in 2000, and now he wins his second and last one in 2012. And they're showing the sequence of plays here. They had a run on first and goal. Second goal had a rollout to Michael Crabtree, incomplete. Then they had another incomplete pass to Crabtree, who got rocked by, I think that was Jimmy Smith or Corey Graham, this last one, of course. So, again, three straight plays to Michael Crabtree. I didn't get that from Baltimore. You have Vernon Davis. You have a guy like Delanie Walker. You have Randy Moss, who, you know, only has 160 touchdowns in his career. So, living and dying with Michael Crabtree, I didn't get the play calling in that last sequence. So, you know, it was a Baltimore night. Second time that John Harbaugh has gotten the best of Jim. Remember last year in the postseason, John Harbaugh, they beat Baltimore in Baltimore in that regular season game, which I had to kind of toss out because Colin Kaepernick was not the quarterback. And you know, a lot of players from, you know, basically the same teams, but again, at Baltimore. This is, of course, a neutral site. Tough loss for San Francisco if you're a San Francisco fan, but again, the future is bright with Kaepernick. They have a lot of talent. They're going to have to pay some of those guys, and they're not going to be able to keep them all. That's just the nature of the beast. Baltimore, again, as long as you have Joe Flacco, they draft well. They'll always be around. They're not going to fall off the cliff anytime soon. That is going to wrap it up for this third season, amazingly, of the NFL show. happy to be with you, and I'll be looking forward to another season come 2013. Enjoy your week, and we'll see you next. We'll see you soon for the Cyril Quinn Review. So long, and good night.